Turning in your Bibles once again tonight to 1 Kings chapter 13. And let me remind you again that the deadline for registering to vote is this coming Friday. And there are some forms, registration forms in the back of the church. And you can pick one of those up, and as long as it's the Board of Elections in Carthage by Friday, you'll be all registered and ready to go. And the other thing is that early voting begins October the 18th, which will be a week from this Thursday. So keep those things in mind. 1 Kings chapter 13, and tonight we want to begin reading at verse 29. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God and laid it upon the ass and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave. And they mourned over him, saying, "Alas, my brother." And it came to pass after he had buried him that he spake to his son, saying, "When I am dead, then bury me in the sepulcher wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria shall surely come to pass. After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people priests of the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from off the face of the earth." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this service tonight, another opportunity for us to gather with those of like precious faith and to gather around the table of your word and to be refreshed from the songs and the prayers and be encouraged to go out into our places of work and school and business tomorrow. We thank you for the preparation that this first day of the week gives us for the rest of the days of the week. And we pray that you would bless our study tonight in your word and speak to our hearts from it. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening, for a few minutes, we want to come back to this 13th chapter of 1 Kings because there's a point that we've been trying to get to for the last two Sunday mornings, and we just haven't been able to get to it. Sort of a final thought from this chapter. So tonight we want to take another whack at it. Of course, we've come here in connection with our studies of Josiah, and we're looking at Josiah because he was a man that did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and he declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Those words, "Decline neither to the right hand nor to the left," are such weighty words, such important words. They tell us something about the spiritual character of Josiah. We've talked about how they tell us that he didn't deviate or vary or waver or compromise in his obedience to the Lord. There's something else that's suggested by those words. And it is that Josiah did not become weary in well-doing. He didn't become weary in well-doing. Twice in the New Testament, in writing to the Galatians and to the Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul tells them the same thing. Be not weary in well-doing. Isn't it instructive? Doesn't it tell us something about ourselves when twice the Lord has to tell us, be not weary in well-doing? And he tells us that because our old nature will never be weary in evil-doing. It'll never be weary in that. It's like that because our old nature is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other. And so what you have in the life of the believer is war. War. There's war every time that we sit down to open the Word of God and spend time in it. There's war every time that we enter into our prayer closet to spend a few moments before the throne of grace in prayer before God. And our tendency is to become war weary. War weary. We become weary in well-doing. We become weary of the struggle, weary of the battle, weary of the war. And so instead of entering into the arena of war, we just find ourselves choosing the easy way out. We stay in bed, and we get a little bit of extra sleep. It's easier to do that than it is to get up the first thing in the morning and go into battle with the devil and the powers of darkness. As we spend time reading and meditating on the Word of God and spending some time in prayer before the day begins. Instead of going to war, we become weary in well-doing. And when we become weary in well-doing, we decline to the right hand or to the left. And it seems that's especially true in our personal time with the Lord. Josiah wasn't like that. Josiah did not become weary in well-doing. I mean, think about it. It took Josiah 6 years, 6 years to purge Judah and Jerusalem. He began in the 12th year of his reign, and he went through the land for 6 years until the 18th year of his reign, breaking the idols in pieces and making dust of them and burning the bones of the priests and breaking down the altars and cutting down the idols. And yet there's not one mention that he ever declined or wavered or deviated in any way in that. Josiah did not become weary in well-doing. I think about Caleb in the book of Joshua when it comes to this matter of declining neither to the right hand or to the left. When it comes to not being weary and well-doing, keep your place here and turn back, if you like, to Joshua chapter 14 for just a minute. Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14 and verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought to him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Now notice these next words. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. That's another way of saying that Caleb did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Look at verse 9. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Caleb is now 85 years old. And think about his life. He spent 40 years going through spiritual warfare in the wilderness. 40 years of unbelief among the people of God. And the problems and the difficulties that came as a result of that. And now he spent 5 years of literal physical warfare in the land of Canaan. This man's 85 years old. And he's been through these wars, spiritual wars, physical wars. It's time to be tired, right? Not Caleb. Look at verse 11. Notice what he says. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. That was when he was 40 years old. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. A lot of people go out to war. Some people don't come in from war. Caleb says, my strength is just as strong as I was when I was 40 years old. I have the strength to go out to war, and I have the strength to come back in, just as I had then. I think he's talking about spiritual warfare and physical warfare. I hope it will be true of us when we're 85 years old. We might not be able to war physically, but I hope that we're able to war spiritually when we're 85 years old, just like we were when we were 40 years old. Sometimes we get a little soft in our old age. I don't want to get soft in my old age. I don't want to get soft and liberal in my old age, spiritually. I want to be standing for the truth and fighting the fight just as hard if I make it to 85 as I am today at 60, whatever. Whatever. Look at verse 12. Caleb says, Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Here's another example of what it means to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord and decline neither to the right hand nor to the left. It's an example of what it means to wholly follow the Lord. It's an example of what it means not to grow weary in well-doing, even even at the age of 85. Here is Caleb saying, give me the hard place. Give me the hard place. Give me the mountain. And you've heard, Joshua, that the Anakims were there. The giants are there. And there's cities, there's great cities, and they're fenced. Give me the hard place. That's what you call not being weary in well-doing. Well, let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 13, because I'm fixing to talk away my time again and not get to this point that we want to see. But these words, declining neither to the right hand or to the left, are such critical words, and they have so many tentacles to them, so many paths that you can go down in your thinking about them. Back here in 1 Kings chapter 13, we talked last Sunday morning in some detail about this man of God and his disobedience. The Lord had sent him to Bethel, and he was to deliver God's message there. And then he was to leave, and his instructions were that he wasn't to eat bread or to drink water in Bethel. His instructions were that he wasn't even to go back by the same way that he came. He was to return to Judah by a different way. And we talked about how this old prophet that dwelt at Bethel heard about the things that this man of God had done. He heard about the things that he had said. And so he goes to find him, and he found him sitting under an oak in Bethel. And he invited him back to his house. And the man of God refused. But when this old prophet told him in verse 18, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. This man of God believed the lie of the old prophet. And he went back with him, and he ate bread, and he drank water in the place where the Lord told him not to. And the disobedience of this man of God cost him his life. We see in verse 24, and when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. In verse 19 through verse 30 of this chapter, we have the history of this man of God's disobedience and the consequences of his disobedience. And we see in verse 30 that this old prophet from Bethel, or we see in verse 29 that he went and got the body, he went and got the carcass of this man of God. And in verse 30, he brought him back and he laid him in his own grave. And he mourned over him. His sons mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. Now notice verse 31. And it came to pass, after he had buried him, that he spake to his sons, saying, when I'm dead, then bury me in the sepulcher wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. Now, why did this old prophet want his sons to lay his bones beside the bones of this man of God? Well, he tells us in verse 32, for the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria shall surely come to pass. I want us to think about a part of that verse, the first few words and the last five words. For the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord shall surely come to pass. Now think about what this old prophet is saying. He's talking about this man of God who came out of Judah to Bethel and did that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. That's the man he's talking about. But he's also talking about this same prophet of the Lord who turned aside to the right hand, to the left. This same prophet who sat down under the oak in Bethel. He's talking about this prophet of the Lord who was disobedient to what the Lord commanded him to do. He went back and ate bread and drank water in the place where the Lord told him not to. He's talking about the man of God. He wants to be buried. He wants his bones beside the bones of this man of God who sinned the sin unto death. The man of God in whose life we see this alliance between the ass and the lion. The alliance between the old nature and Satan that led this man of God into deception and disobedience. That's the man of God that this old prophet is talking about. And he says this, it's incredible. For the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord shall surely come to pass. I think those are incredible words. And I think they teach us a very important point. And that point is this. The message of this book is not dependent on the faithfulness of the messenger. The message of this book is dependent on the faithfulness of God and God alone. Here was a flawed servant. We won't disagree about that. Here was a disobedient servant. Here was a man who, instead of walking with the Lord, was sitting under an oak in Bethel. A man who, instead of walking with the Lord, was riding an ass. He was going forth in the energy of the flesh. That's the picture. But folks, this man's disobedience did not alter, it did not change the truth of the Word of God. The saying which he cried by the word of the Lord shall surely come to pass. This is one of the most encouraging passages in the Word of God to me. Because what you are looking at here, up here, is a flawed servant. What you are looking at up here is a disobedient servant. What you're looking at up here is someone who spends more time riding the ass of his old nature than he does walking in the Spirit with the Lord. But I'll tell you something. That which is spoken by the word of the Lord shall surely come to pass. It'll surely come to pass. Because the message of this book is not dependent on the faithfulness of the messenger. It's dependent on the faithfulness of God and God alone. And he's ever faithful. He cannot lie. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word shall not pass away. It's forever settled in heaven. And I think that it's worth thinking about these things because the devil's emphasis is always on the messenger. The devil always wants to point to the messenger. He can't do anything about the message of this book. It's infallibly true. It's the word of the living God. He can't do anything to the truth. He can't dispute it. He can't harm it. He can't gainsay against it. And so what the devil does is he attacks the messenger. And he says, particularly to those who are lost, look at that man. Or that woman. Look at their life. Why? If they're a Christian, then you're all right. If they're a Christian, you don't have any problem because your life is certainly no worse than theirs. The devil is constantly trying to get people to measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves among themselves. And God says that's not wise. That's not wise. That's how you get deceived. Because God's the standard. We're not the standard. The Holy God is the standard. And therefore, the message of this book is not dependent on the faithfulness of the messenger. The message of this book is dependent on the faithfulness of God. And God alone. And I think we see that illustrated for us right here in these words. For the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord shall surely come to pass. But that's not all that we see. We see two men here. We see this old prophet, and we see Jeroboam. The old prophet said, when I am dead, then bury me in the sepulcher wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria shall surely come to pass. Keep your place here and turn over, if you will, to 2 Kings chapter 23. 2 Kings chapter 23. In 2 Kings chapter 23, we have more of the detail of Josiah's actions in purging Judah and Jerusalem and Israel. And the account is rather long, and we won't take time to read, but just a portion of it. Look at verse 15. We read there concerning Josiah, moreover, the altar that was at Bethel, that's this altar that we been reading about in 1 Kings, these altars in 1 Kings 13. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place, which Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place he brake down and burned the high place and stamped it small to powder and burned the grove. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchers that were there in the mount, and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchers and burned them upon the altar and polluted it, according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Folks, the old prophet was right. The words that he cried in the word of the Lord shall surely come to pass, and it came to pass just exactly as was prophesied. Then he said, what title is that I see? So Josiah is going through the sepulchers here, and he's cleaning out the graves, and he's getting out the bones of these priests, and he's burning them. And so he sees another one, and there's a title on it. Then he said, what title is that I see? And the men of the city told him, it is the sepulcher of the man of God, which came from Judah and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel. Now look at verse 18. And he said, let him alone. Let no man move his bones. So they let his bones alone. Now notice these next words. With the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria. You see, the old prophet said, I want you to bury me with this man of God, and I want my bones to touch his bones. I want you to lay my bones beside his bones. because what he's prophesied in the name of the Lord shall surely come to pass. What was the old prophet's refuge? The message. The message. He wasn't focused on the failing of the messenger. And he knew it firsthand. He was focused on the faithfulness of the message. And he believed that message, and he told his sons, when I am dead, then bury me in the sepulcher wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. Because the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord shall surely come to pass. And folks, when the day of judgment came, his bones were not burned. When the day of judgment came, his bones were not burned. His bones were spared. Bones in the Bible are a symbol of strength. And our strength in the day of judgment will be whether we have believed what this old prophet believed. For the saying which is cried by the word of the Lord, from Genesis to Revelation, the saying which is cried by the word of the Lord, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, the saying that is cried by the word of the Lord, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The saying that is cried by the word of the Lord, when the fullness of time is come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. The sayings which are cried by the word of the Lord in this book shall surely come to pass. That will be our strength in the day of judgment. Let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 13. Because we want to look at Jeroboam. Notice verse 33. After this thing, after what thing? After the death of this man of God. After the death of this man of God who had brought Jeroboam God's message. Jeroboam certainly heard what happened to the prophet. That is the thing that's being referred to here. And you can be sure that Satan took great delight in telling, and Jeroboam took great delight in hearing about this man's death. And Jeroboam, no doubt, fell prey to the deception of the alliance between the ass of his old nature and Satan the lion. This alliance that said, if this messenger from God was unfaithful and disobedient to the point that he lost his life, then I can ignore the message that he brought. I don't have to pay any attention to that. And that's exactly what Jeroboam did. Verse 33, after this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people priests of the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from off the face of the earth. Jeroboam focused on the messenger. He focused on the messenger, and he dismissed and he ignored and he refused to believe the message from heaven. And he lost his soul forever. What's your focus tonight? Are you focused on the messenger and his flaws and his shortcomings? Or are you focused on the message from heaven that's not dependent on any way, in any way, on the messenger? It's dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. Are you like this old prophet? Are you like this old prophet who focused not on the messenger, but on the message? For the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord shall surely come to pass. Or has the ass of your old nature and Satan the lion formed an alliance that has caused you to focus on the messenger and to refuse to believe the message from heaven. If that's your condition tonight, your end is there in verse 34. This thing will become a sin to you, even to cut you off and to destroy you from off the face of the earth. It doesn't have to be that way. Tonight, right where you are, you can believe the message of the gospel. You can believe that message that Christ died for your sins. He was buried according to the scriptures, and he rose again the third day. Right where you are, you can turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can turn to him in repentance and faith and ask him to be your Savior and receive the message from heaven. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for these little verses here that teach us such a very important lesson. We thank you that the message of this book is not dependent on the faithfulness of the messenger, but it's dependent on the faithfulness of God. And we thank you that he is faithful. He is ever faithful. And we thank you that the message is true. And we pray that if there's anyone here tonight who's never believed it, that right now they would believe it and repent of their sin and trust the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior. Father, help those of us who are saved to be encouraged that the message is not dependent upon us. It's dependent upon you. And we pray that each day as we go forth that we would exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray these things in his name. Amen.